you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says, "Your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." Immediately we see Jesus has taken a jump from what is natural to us as human beings. Because so often is it not true that we want our good deeds to be shown to others so that we could look good and not give glory to God for those deeds? The problem is that often we expect to be recognized. Well, the theological virtue of charity informs us by the mind of Christ through baptism that we love others more than ourselves. That's what charity is. I love you more than I love myself. And in another place, as we're going to hear soon on Ash Wednesday in the first reading, Jesus says, if you're going to do something good for somebody, don't let your right hand even know what your left hand is doing. Do it in secret, so that your heavenly Father, who sees everything in secret, will reward you. So how do we get to that place where we can give and not expect any return? It is the theme in all of the readings this weekend. We must become people who give and not people who take. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked. Do not turn your back on your own. Then, he says, your light will break forth like the dawn, and your wound will be quickly healed. How many wounds do we have that need to be quickly healed? Then you shall call the Lord, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." You know, before this, it was the Lord who calls, and we're supposed to say, "Here I am," right? But he's twisting this around on purpose. Is it possible that God would treat us as an equal? Certainly we're not. But if, in fact, we become sons and daughters in the Son, then there is a certain level of equality there that is being promised to the beloved. If you remove oppression, false accusation, malicious speech, if you remove all of these, he says, then the light shall rise for you in the darkness, in gloom like midday. So how do we get there from here? Well, this is going to sound a little bit like a commercial break, but I have to tell you that this is the weekend that all the homilies have to be about the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. And I'm still trying to get a real homily in here without going too far into the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. But the only way that we can do anything, as described in this first reading today, is accomplished by being a community. As individuals, it's not going to work. But the local church, which is the Diocese of Arlington, is the place where we can accomplish all of these greater things together. Where alone, it might just look like a personal goal. But not even as a group who seeks to accomplish these things. We must be a community that also includes the hungry and the oppressed and the naked. Not simply the ones that we serve, but that we embrace them and they become a part of who we are. Because it says at that moment in that first reading, it says, do not turn your back on your own. So there's another dimension to this community where we are responsible for one another. We belong to one another. And that includes all people who are suffering or lacking anything at all in need. We belong to each other, and as such, our identity is as a people who care. So again, how do we get there from here? Well, this week, last couple of weeks actually, we have this little book club here at St. Bernadette where we've been working on C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And I'm pretty sure I read it in college, but I think I must have done the Cliff Notes. You know, college is wasted on the young, I believe. I appreciate this book so much, and because I wanted to read it, not just because it was an assignment that I had to read. Such a beautiful book. I think probably I only read even the first part of the Cliff Notes, though, because I don't remember a lot of what happens later in this book that he writes. But it's a treatise on how to be a Christian, why to be a Christian, and then ultimately why it matters. And being a Christian is getting from where we are now with self-interest to where we need to be caring for others completely in that community of love. The Son of God, he says, well, he makes this distinction between begotten and made. So if you're going to beget, that means you're going to produce someone just like you. So a bird, well, a bird lays an egg, but an egg turns into a bird, right? A dog begets a dog. Well, two dogs beget a dog, or maybe many dogs. Human beings beget human beings. God begets God. It's a kind of a natural, logical sequence, isn't it? And in the Creed, we say the Son of God was begotten, not made, and then that word consubstantial with the Father. That means of the same stuff. So this distinction between being begotten and being made, if you make something, it's something external to you. It's something that is outside of you and made from matter that is other than you. Like I can make a cake, right? Or I can make a painting. Or I can make a statue, but it still isn't a person like me. C.S. Lewis says that the miracle of the incarnation, when divinity entered into our humanity, was that we who were made are now transformed into being begotten. All right, we were made in God's image to start with, right? But we were still made from different stuff. But because Jesus entered into our humanity and touched each one of us as the community of those human beings who were made, that spark of divinity is now inside each of you. Christ is in you by baptism. And that you have been transformed into a new kind of human that is begotten of God. And the point that C.S. Lewis makes is that we can no longer act like our old selves. We have to be new. And part of that is this idea of active charity. It is who we are as Christians that we give. If we don't give, then we're not living our identity. And you can see where this comes right into this idea of the Bishop's Lenten Appeal, because it is through the Bishop's Lenten Appeal that we serve so many people in our diocese, not just the Catholics. I was trying to think, I was going to go through a list of everything that we do as Catholic Charities. I think it's better that I just say the only thing Catholic Charities doesn't do is spa treatments. They do everything else. Everything to serve anyone in need. And it's up to us always to help that happen. Spiritual life, this is how priests are educated up to ordination. Emotional life, we've got all kinds of services for people who are really struggling still right now. Any way that people can help. So now that we are here, The question is, how must we behave? And hopefully, in our realization, we will make a new world that is certainly different from the one before, as a part of a community that cares. So I ask you, next weekend is Commitment Sunday for the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. We'll have the things in the pews, but there's also inserts in all the bulletins today, if you'd be willing to take one home, please, and consider a gift.